Hi, I'm Olivia Leonard, and today I'm here with Morgan Tracy to discuss wetlands in the new New York State renewable energy law. Hi, Morgan, how are you doing?
Hi, Olivia. I'm good. How are you doing today?
I'm good. So, do you mind telling us where you attend school and what you're studying?
Sure. So I am a graduate student at the University of Rhode Island, and my major is conservation biology, and I'm getting a certificate in community planning as well.
That's really cool. Are you focusing on anything specific in your studies?
I've been taking a lot of classes focused on wetland ecology. So I've been doing a couple different projects related to wetlands.
Nice. Would you mind explaining a little bit about wetlands?
Sure. So wetlands are the transitional zone between land and water, and they can be found in freshwater locations like lakes, as well as saltwater locations like oceans. And there's a variety of different types of wetlands, but just for some examples, in the Albany area, you can find freshwater wetlands along the Hudson River. You can find vernal pools near farmland in New York State and in the Adirondacks. And tidal wetlands can even be found in Long Island and New York City. Wetlands have a lot of different functions and values that benefits humans as well as the surrounding environment. They can help filter out contaminants from runoff, and they're also a good space for biodiversity because some wetlands house species that can only be found in that specific type of wetland. And they can also help us fight climate change because they store a lot of carbon dioxide in their vegetation. And they can also help retain a lot of stormwater, which is really useful when dealing with flooding events.
Interesting. Would you like to talk a little bit about your research and how our road salt from the winter times impacts the wetland amphibian life?
Yeah, sure. So for one of my classes, I did a research project, and I wanted to see how human activity impacts wetland species. So I focused on how road salt influences wood frogs. There's a lot of different interesting research that's been done on this topic, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to do extensive research just because of the nature of the research project, and also COVID hit right in the middle of the semester. But through the fieldwork and the literary review I was able to do, I did learn a lot. So sodium chloride is a component in road salt that can be very detrimental to wood frogs. It can cause them to have physical abnormalities, slower growth rates, and decreased survival time, just to name a few things. And these findings are not exclusive to wood frogs, as other amphibians, birds, and even mammals can be negatively affected by road salt. I concluded that vernal pools located closer to roads have less wood frog egg masses present, although I could not determine if this was due to the concentration of sodium chloride present or if it was just due to the fact of the roads being located so close to the pools. A more extensive study done on this topic in the Adirondacks found that vernal pools located closer to roads had less wood frog egg masses present. And although sodium chloride is really bad for wood frogs, it was found that the low amount of egg masses in the pools located closer to the roads was not due to the concentration of sodium chloride, and it was thought to just be due to the proximity of the pools to the roads, and the frogs just simply didn't want to lay their eggs in a pool located that close to a road.
I guess my next question would be in regards to the wetland mitigation and how that is impacted.
So when development or construction damages a pre-existing wetland, the damage to the wetland has to be mitigated, and this is required thanks to the Clean Water Act. So, when damage to a wetland is unavoidable, mitigation has to be done. And this can be done through creation, restoration, or enhancement of a wetland. When you create a wetland, you're constructing a wetland in a location where there previously was not one. And this is the least successful method because it's really hard to get the hydrology component right. Created wetlands often end up having too much or too little water, so they're seen as the least successful method of mitigation. And when you restore a wetland, you're cleaning or restoring a damaged wetland to its more natural state. So for example, you can remove invasive species to allow for a native species to recolonize the wetland. And for enhanced wetlands, you are altering the wetland to enhance a particular function or value of the wetland. So for example, you can add more plants that will help filter contaminants out of runoff. And New York State has a lot of wetlands. You can see them when you're driving down the highways. I see them all the time because I see this really tall reed that's really easy to spot from the road, which is actually an invasive species. And I see them all the time when I'm driving down the Northway or the Mass Pike. And also, a lot of farmland in New York was originally wetlands that was converted to farmland because wetland soil is so fertile because of all the plant life it houses. And a lot of these farmlands often have wetlands located next to them or even have sections of wetlands in the farmland. So they're really all over the place in New York. And sometimes they're even incorporated in parks or walking and biking trails just because of how beautiful and full of life they are. I even have some in my backyard and throughout my neighborhood, and we get a lot of benefits from just being near them because we get to hear frogs at night and we get to see different species of birds that we otherwise wouldn't get to see and appreciate. So mitigation is not only important because of all the aesthetic values we get from wetlands, but also because of the other functions and values I mentioned earlier, like helping us to fight climate change because they store carbon dioxide. Wetland mitigation is also very important, not just because of all the aesthetic values we get from wetlands, but also because of all the other functions and values I mentioned earlier. Like I said, wetlands can help us fight climate change by storing carbon dioxide that would otherwise be up in the atmosphere, and they can also hold stormwater runoff instead of it flooding our roads and neighborhoods after a storm.
It's awesome that we are both able to live here and have those wetlands so we get to experience the beauty of the nature that they bring in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, for sure.
So my next question is about the new renewable energy law.
I'm interested in knowing what it entails and how it's going to stop the progression of climate change.
So in April of this year, as part of the 2020-2021 state budget, it was announced that New York Accelerated Renewable Energy Growth and Community Benefit Act was passed. And this is designed to help jumpstart the economy after COVID and to help fight against climate change by having New York State get 70% of its electricity from renewable sources, which is pretty radical. Through this act, permits for renewable energy will move a lot faster, and that will help get more wind turbines and solar panels up and running to help power New York State.
Awesome. So the wind turbines and the solar panels are just things that we can incorporate into our local communities to help combat climate change. And in the foreseeable future, hopefully that would
slow down the warming progression of our climate, and
eventually we'll be able to combat the entire global climate crisis.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll start to see more wind turbines and solar panels going up within the next year or so.
Is there anything else you'd like to discuss today?
I guess I'd just like to ask anybody that's listening to recognize where your wetlands are, either near your house or along the road or in your parks nearby your house, and try to have as much respect for them as you can by not polluting them with trash or not using excessive amounts of road salt on your driveway. And if you have wetlands on your property, just try to keep them as natural as possible. Also, thank you, Olivia, for interviewing me and letting me speak about my passion for environmental protection.
Yes, of course. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and maybe we can do another interview in the future and give people more knowledge about how to protect wildlife and wetlands and what to do to combat the global climate crisis.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today. And that was Morgan Tracy on wetlands in upstate New York
and the new New York State Renewable Energy Law.